Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast. Fear fic is the term for short horror fiction, mostly posted on the web. It includes any and all related subgenres. Join three assholes, talking basement goo slime beast, inebriated interstellar traveler Abysme, and irritable ghostly man whore Dead Palette, as they read all stories horror and internet related, paragraph by paragraph, and bullshit while they do it. From adolescent revenge fantasies to subtle postmodern narratives about real-life events and everything in between, they read it and critique. You better believe it. Kick it to the cold open, white boy.
I don't have anything because I'm fucking brain dead or I'm working really hard, so I will have one eventually.
What'd you do at work today?
It's not what I did today, it's what I did yesterday.
What'd you do yesterday?
I filed, this is the first time I've ever filed something in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, which for anyone that doesn't
know,
you're
a lawyer.
Because I'm not a lawyer. That shit is one level below the Supreme Goddamn Court. So that I did that all day. It's a fucking mess.
So what you're saying is you're not good enough to work in the Supreme Court?
No, nor would I.
Okay, so you're not allowed to claim to be a lawyer, and you have to make sure everyone knows that you're not a lawyer. But can you claim to be part of the Supreme Court?
Can you claim to be a Chief Justice of the Supreme
Court?
Can
you claim to be a Chief Justice?
I already saw this shit on Twitter today. He's a judge, not a lawyer.
I have no idea what we're talking about. I want to know, are you legally allowed to call yourself a Chief Justice?
No.
Why not?
It's a fucking nominated position.
Why not?
Number one. So
will I get in legal trouble if I say that I'm a Supreme Court Justice Dead Palette?
Yeah, probably. If you're impersonating a Supreme Court justice, I imagine that's like eight types of felonies.
I don't believe you, person with education. Let me Google it. Can I impersonate a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? ?
I would love if, like, as soon as you typed impersonate, it just stopped and says no. Can I impersonate?
I would just like to state right here that I'm not a Supreme Court justice.
You're not. Okay. Here we go. We got a PDF file. Rules of the Chief Justice, Part 50. Rules governing... Okay, blah, blah, blah. It is... Okay. It is completely within the legal rights of any American citizen to claim they are a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, under U.S. law, all citizens of the... Whoa, okay. So all citizens are actually Chief Justices. I didn't realize that. It's a technicality. It's a technicality that only some of them get nominated, but really all of us are Chief Justices. I never knew that.
Aren't the real Chief Justices the friends we made along the way?
Yeah.
The Chief Justice was in your heart the entire time.
Everybody, go in the stream, go into the chat and tell everyone that you're a Chief Justice.
Yes. If you're a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, type 1 in chat. Type 2. If you have type 2 diabetes. I don't know. But if you think about it, aren't all members of the Supreme Court just friends the president made along the way?
Oh.
Well, certain presidents.
Oh, sick depend. Politics joke.
Hey.
Any science, political science majors in the audience? Anybody?
Hey, how about those unappointed offices?
Abysme, how do you feel being responsible for the worst cold open in the short life of this podcast?
Well, you forced it on me, so I don't feel too bad.
Well,
and my CYA is intact, so I don't care.
What is a CYA? Is that like that band that Bam Margera really liked?
Yes.
Children's Youth Abattoir, I don't know.
Aryan? Is that what you're going to say?
Two for two on the white nationalist jokes.
Oh, let's keep those white nationalist jokes coming, folks. Oh, man.
No, that's
if you got a white nationalist joke, please write to fearfic.com.
Now, Abysme, when you're in court...
Might be a white nationalist.
When you're in court, Abysme... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Definitely not a lawyer, though.
When you're in court, Abysme, do you ever feel tempted to stand before the judge and say, I'd like to ethno-state for the record?
I've been in front of some judges where that would probably go over well.
Oh, man.
Oof.
Which ones?
They're I'm not going to fucking name them. You crazy.
Judge Klansman, Judge.
I am immediately reminded of that scene in Frisky Dingo in Death Valley. You will remember this. Yep,
I will.
Where it's in the later, the second season or whatever, the end of the
Aren't
show.
Aren't you Jewish?
No, not that one. Not that
oh,
one.
Oh, no, okay.
What, Wendell, what are you doing? Oh, don't worry about it. Time for Operation Meth Nazi.
Meth Nazi.
Meth Nazi.
What? Nazi? Oh, please. Like, you don't know what half the people are bought out by the Nazis. Why? Yes. There's Senator Beep, Chief Justice Beep, and not to mention Beep. It just goes on for like 5 minutes.
Someday I'll have to watch that.
It's,
probably not.
It's there's not that much, and it's really good.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You have to give it time, though. You have to, because it's all repetition-based humor, so like it takes a bit to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
Repetition-based humor. Now, on to our podcast.
Creepypasta, 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 creepypasta.
Don't ruin this for me. Don't ruin this for me. Don't ruin this for me. Close the goddamn door.
I'm sorry, guys, but those are S-tier memes.
Only we can do those.
They're S-tier memes if the S stands for shit.
And then the other S also stands for shit. SS-tier memes.
Aw, damn.
Who's going to introduce the stories we're reading today? Doubleheader.
I've never read anything from this Tumblr, so I say you do it.
Yeah, I was trying to give it to you since you never do cold opens, but right. Okay.
So we're reading from a Tumblr page. It is bashallcishet.tumblr.com.
Sure.
Cishetpeoplearethewurst.com.
Cishetpeoplearejustthebeesknees.tumblr.com.
That's something that the Loose News guys would rap about. Cishet people are the goddamn worst.
Would they?
I don't know. I told you I'm bad at fucking cold opens.
What
all
is
life
this?
Is sacred, except if you're cishet and white.
What is this rap group? This anti-suicide rap group, why are they singing about gender politics? No, don't ruin this for
cis
me.
Cishet okay. White just ain't right.
God damn it.
That's right. Big LGBTQ has made its way into into youth suicide prevention. Who would have guessed?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
They always go where the money
Everybody
is.
Everybody go draw big LGBTQ. I want to know what that looks
no,
like.
No, big LGBTQ is like a really huge, heavyset rapper that sort of like produces the new Loose News crew.
He has the fucking like golden chain thing with giant LGBTQ plus on it.
Yes. He's got a rainbow tattoo on his cheek.
No, the best thing is if... If his name is just incidentally LGBTQ, but it stands for something else entirely different and extremely homophobic.
Oh, God.
I really do, but I'm not. I want to start big LGBTQ as something for asshole intolerant fuckers to, like, go, big LGBTQ is moving in on... Because it would just be fucking funny, but then they'd probably take it seriously.
Well, you know what would happen? You would have people taking it seriously and saying, oh, I'm tired of big LGBTQ manipulating the media. And then on the other side, you'd get people going, I'm proud to be big LGBTQ. Like, no!
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
of you, you're getting handcuffed together and shot into space. Come on.
Oh, man. This is your
Dear
fault,
Elon
Disney.
Musk.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Please ship all the people in handcuffs into space.
Elon
He's
Musk.
He's doing God's work.
After the Hyperloop and a bunch of other bullshit, Elon Musk will be handcuffing everyone in America together and launching them into space.
So where were those kids trapped? In
Denny's? India? Australia?
Oh.
No, the kids who were trapped in like the underwater cave thing.
Yeah, it was either like... Oh, no, I think it was India, but it was an Australian diver who saved most of them.
No, what? It was... Fuck, it was somewhere
it Singapore?
With... Say what?
Was it Singapore?
Yeah, it was somewhere with sex tourism.
Was it Thailand?
I think, yeah, it was Thailand.
Yeah.
I was about to say, but the person who runs this Tumblr lives in Singapore and just posts a bunch of horror stories. Moving back to 15-hour creepy stories.
Yeah, I
That's
mean, we can
you
move back to
you
it.
You asked me to do a fucking cold open.
I know, right? Jesus fucking Christ. We got a lot of, like... Man, that was a lot of LGBTQ and white nationalism.
A lot of racism, a lot of homophobia, a lot of everything.
Reverse homophobia.
Reverse homophobia.
Now I'm just picturing some guy, you know, scolding you, saying, beep, 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 you're doing some reverse homophobia right there. Back it up.
Oh, my Christ. We will be
reading. Fear Fic podcast is a bunch of bullshit. Anyway.
Reverse homophobia is what you hear when you play a Creed album backwards. Oh, fuck.
We're gay is wide open. Into big LGBT.
Oh, my God.
Do not start me on fucking Creed memes. Oh, God. I'm going to have a lot of those now.
Anyway.
Elias, okay. Whatever you do, do not edit a stutter loop of Slimey saying reverse homophobia is what you get when you play a Creed album backwards. We are reading the Blue Light Special. No, Blue Light Signal and 9 out of 10 Cannibals Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
The 15 Hours Tumblr blog.
Number 1420, Blaze It.
Mm.
So this first story, The Blue Light Signal is by MacDog2395.
All right.
MacDog! Blue Light is a tunnel 346
You want to try that one again?
Blue Light and Tunnel 346 has gone out, Frank said as he handed me the work order.
That's the third time this month, and I am too old for this shit.
Blue lights are indicators for the emergency call boxes in the subway tunnels. All right, we have our setting. Every now and then, the light goes out, but it's happening more frequently. It falls to me to get them replaced, since I am the only one who knows how. I prepare my toolkit bag. I need my safety boots, hard hat, flashlight, orange work signs, and a bunch of other things. Butt plug. beehive hairdo. I don't know. Not to mention a replacement bulb. Well, yeah, that would make sense.
Typically, they have trucks for all this shit, but I have to carry it all myself.
Now, Slime Beast, that's obviously stupid. How the fuck are you going to wear a hard hat and a beehive hairdo?
You put it on top of the hat.
Finesse. With great skill.
That's right. You just have a beehive hairdo just as
with
a merkin.
With poise. Yes. As the subway platform is busy with people returning home from their mundane work days, no one pays attention to me as I throw my bag down and take stuff out. I'm just another subway worker. Kids will sometimes look at me and I will look back and wink. Why? Parents
hey kid,
don't notice.
I'm going down to the tunnels.
Just another day, walking the tunnels, winking at kids.
Why'd you wink at them? Just going down to work on things. What does that mean? Just working on the tunnel.
Excuse me, sir. Why did you wink at my son? I had something in my eye. Oh, yeah. What'd you have in your eye? Lust? I mean, no.
Parents don't notice. Dog don't mind. Parents don't notice. No one bothers to look away from their cell phones anymore. No one cares. Goddamn millennials, so long as their trains run on time.
Oh my God, our narrator is Stalin. Right?
Oh shit.
It's
yeah.
All right there?
Yeah, no.
But I'm going to call it right now and say that he's, you know, we're doing this thing where we're front-loading the thing about nobody ever notices him. He's just a humble worker that no one pays attention to. But he's probably someone you should very much pay attention to.
He's stocking bodies underground. Yeah. The trains keep running over him.
He's about to get beat up by Bruce Willis's Unbreakable. That's the name of his character, right?
Unbreakable Bruce?
Yeah. Bruce Willis. He plays Unbreakable in the movie Unbreakable.
I set up my work signs and jumped down off the platform under the track. I've been down here before, so I should be quick. Walking into these tunnels feels like walking into a gym bag filled with your sweaty clothes. It's nasty. And yet familiar. Okay. I like that.
Yep.
I make my way to Blue Light 346 carefully, walking on the railway ties. Aren't you not supposed to walk on those?
I think you're not supposed to walk on the rail, like the actual thing.
Right. Okay.
There was a figure up ahead.
It was John Slenderman.
John Slenderman!
Hello, I called out as I raised my flashlight.
Whoever it was quickly slipped into one of the niches along the tunnel walls and crouched there. It looked like a child, but I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl.
Oh, our narrator is Professor Oak. Didn't care. Oh, I'm sorry.
I winked at it really hard.
I was winking regardless.
When I got close, the child looked up. It wasn't a child. I guess I'll take that, too.
Yeah, sure. Its face was misshapen with flesh that was ripped and marred. Even worse was its eyes. They were large and pitch black, like a shark's.
Are we getting the black-eyed children again already?
No, what happens is our narrator is Professor Oak, doesn't know if it's a boy or a girl, and we've got Shark Boy from Shark Boy and Lava Girl. That's what it is.
I quickly opened my bag and reached inside, retrieving my gun, and then I popped a cap in its face.
Here we go. I pull out the little girl I snatched from the subway platform earlier. Knocking them out with chloroform was the best way to keep them docile. Trying to transport a bag with a squirming kid inside is no easy task. Billy Mays here for... Billy Mays here for the kids porter.
The kidnapper.
The kidnapsack. I learned that the hard way. I don't think the mother I took her from even noticed she was gone. So we do have somebody that you should be paying attention to, even though no one pays attention to him.
I hand over the girl over to the thing with its beehive head.
And its
what?
Beehive
with the beehive head.
What?
Oh my god.
Shit. Prophetic.
Prophetic. Pathetically prophetic. It clutches the girl with its long, spider-like arm. Its arms are shaped like spiders. And begins clucking happily. It crawls away, taking the girl to a fate unknown. I wish I knew what they did with the children, but that wasn't part of the deal.
Yeah, what could a spider-like creature be doing with small prey? Who knows?
I don't know. To be fair, they could be eating the child, or they could be putting eggs into the child.
They could be just feeding it a bunch of scrambled eggs until the kid gets sick and just like...
True.
I don't know.
Then the... That sounds like a normal porn for normal people thing. There was a little girl. They kept feeding her eggs. She got very sick at the end.
The things in the tunnels signal me by knocking out one of the blue lights, and I bring them a child. That was the deal.
Why, you ask? You're not going to like my answer. If people found out about those things, they'd close the tunnel down.
And I'd be out of a job. No, I think they would try and kill the thing.
Yeah.
They're not going to close the tunnels indefinitely. People need that transport.
Who wants to do it? Who wants to take the last line?
Like I said, people want their trains to run on time. Okay. This could have been good if the conceit was more well thought out, I think. Because...
It's an interesting premise.
Yeah.
The idea of a creature breaking a light so that they get a signal up at the control center. And, you know, the guy comes and brings them something, but, yeah. It's short enough where we're not invested in a really long story, so I feel like it kind of can get a little bit of a pass, because it's like...
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of like a capsule for the premise, you know?
Hey, Harold, I got a question for you. Yeah, sure. Why is it that same light always goes out in the same tunnel at the same area? Just curious about that.
Now, Daryl, it's not the spider kid of legend and yore. I can tell you that right now.
Is that who they are? They're Daryl and Harold?
Yep. Daryl and Harold.
Okay.
Somebody out there do fan art.
Daryl
and Harold.
What, with the well-developed characters of Daryl and Harold?
Yes! Oh, man. Actually, tweet at us. Let us know who you think should play them in a feature film adaptation.
Bruce Willis and Bruce Willis in blackface.
Oh, my fucking God.
The three for two, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Harold. Hey, Harold, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine, Daryl. Just being black. Okay. See you later.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, you see, in all my films, I like to do a lot with color. No, M. Night, please.
It was yeah. Bruce Willis in blackface. What a twist.
That's why he can't...
The blackface Bruce Willis takes off his mask and then it's just Mel Gibson in blackface.
Oh my god.
Why are we throwing Mel Gibson under the bus and not Mel Gibson?
See the one M. Night film that Samuel L. Jackson refused to take part in, calling him a quote-unquote motherfucker.
However, 9 out of 10 cannibals agree, children taste better.
So, is this a story from the perspective of the spider creatures?
Yeah, what? Apparently.
Okay. What?
Trigger warning, cannibalism. Whose trigger is that? Except for, like, one person.
This is written by Tobias Wade.
Descendants of the Donner Party. Don't read this.
No trigger warning about child murder, apparently. Even though children taste better to cannibals, I guess.
It's like, hey, joke about cannibalism, and then everyone in the room just looks at Harold. It's like, dude, not cool. And then Sally gets up and leaves, and someone's like, what? And it's just like, Sally's parents were part of the Donner Party. How to be sensitive to cannibals.
So, did Daryl set up Harold with what's-her-face?
Sally.
Yes. Sally?
When Harold met Sally.
God damn it. Sally is just Bruce Willis in a wig.
And blackface. A single-engine private plane skimming low over the Alaskan wilderness. Glacial waters as clear as a polished mirror, reflecting the vast primordial forest and savage peaks which loom above us, a testament to the stoic grandeur of an earth which existed for only 6,000 years, long before humanity, and will continue to endure long after the footnote of our existence has been forgotten.
Okay.
Glorious.
That first half God. Was basically an Enya lyric.
I was thinking it was like a speech from Al Gore, but yeah.
That too.
Glacial waters as clear as a polished mirror, reflecting the vast primordial forests.
And I would like to introduce, man, it's really easy to do Al Gore. I would like to introduce my favorite band and yours, Creed. Performing the hits of Panic at the Disco.
With the for ozone one... wide open. Up in a fractured sky.
Oh, man. For one glorious moment. It feels as though the world was created just for us, but that was before the engine stalled mid-flight. Oh, well. Before the violet plummet and the mercy of a deaf god, before the ground accelerating towards us, all happening much too fast to regain altitude before the crash.
Hmm.
Oh, so this is a Donner Party scenario. Plane crash and the thing. Okay.
What, the minute you said a single-engine private plane, I was like, oh, crashing and eating people. Cool.
Yeah, after Alaskan, I was like, okay, they're crashing in the Alaskan wilderness, yeah.
That's what happens in Alaska.
To be fair, I had no idea what the plot of the story was so far because I was too distracted by the grandiose way it was written.
Hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. It's just
right.
No, it's working.
Yeah.
An explosion so loud it was silent. Flash so bright I saw nothing. Bone jar and impact.
Somebody cut Elias, cut that into the song. Bone jar and impact. God damn it. That works
I,
well.
Okay, I unironically enjoy Creed's music. I don't care what anyone says, because if you strip away the very, like, Christian-inspired lyrics, the guitarist for that band is very, very talented. and they were catchy for a reason, but yeah, anyway.
Well, should we start making fun of POD then or something? Or?
No, because Creed, like, Creed is just a well of shit you can do. Take Me Higher, all that shit. It's great.
Don't make fun of POD. That's Elias's favorite band.
Oh, everything lurching so bad, it felt like my soul must have been ripped clean from my body. I wish I'd died the second we hit the ground. I wish my husband had too, but he lingered in that broken body until nightfall. Mm. Our hands had never clasped so tightly as when we sealed together with his blood. As when we sealed together with his blood, okay?
You're adding
and no
a wee.
Words. You, as Oh, right, sorry.
You're sticking when, your wee in there.
Our hands had never clasped so tightly as when sealed together with his blood, and no words were as precious as those escaping between his shallow breaths. This is a very wordy story, but yeah, it's okay so far.
They couldn't have been in that bad a shape if that was the tightest they ever clasped their hands.
God damn it.
Just saying. Being melodramatic.
Promise me that you'll survive, he said, whatever it takes.
I wasn't in much better condition than him. One of my legs was broken, several ribs had snapped, and three of my fingers were still clinging to the bottom of my seat where I'd braced for the impact.
Ouch.
Braced for the crash. Now a dozen feet away. I didn't expect to last the night, but I still made that promise. I'd like to think that hope gave some small comfort before his eyes closed for the last time. I'd like to think that, like, all right, he's dead, and then they just kill themselves, and then they get up to heaven. It's like, I thought I told you to...
God damn it.
You never listen to me.
St. Peter, do you have a separate heaven so I can just sit away from my bitch wife who can't take lying in pain in the frozen wastes for, like, 5 minutes?
Well,
too much to ask.
I can send you to hell. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah,
fine.
Exactly.
After that came the war between slow starvation and my desperate hope of being saved. A hungry animal could easily find me first, though, lured by the scent of charred flesh and fresh blood which teased my nostrils. But there was another war going on below the surface, my human dignity against my will to survive. Cannibalism. Mm.
I lasted almost 4 days before I took the first bite. Just a mouthful, holding the strip of his skin in my mouth and wetting my parched throat with his blood. Now I'm wondering if you could you actually...
Is it the husband?
Hmm?
are they eating the husband?
Probably.
Think so.
Cool.
I'm wondering, though, could you subsist on blood, or would it be...
I imagine it would dehydrate you.
Hmm. By the end of the week...
But he's not a doctor.
That's true.
I'm not. I am a doctor. Not a lawyer, but I am a doctor.
Hmm. Dr. Chief Justice of Bisbee. By the end of the week...
Supreme Court Justice Mr. Doctor.
Surgeon General. If I could get political for just a second, doesn't Supreme Court Justice Dr. Mr. or Mr. Doctor sound exactly like somebody Trump would nominate?
Yeah.
His name is Mr. Doctor.
He's the best Supreme Court Justice Mr. Doctor in the land. There's no one better.
That's not his name, sir. Shut up.
No.
Shut up, talky earpiece man.
Get these robot penises away from my face.
God damn it.
I just like the image of fucking Donald Trump arguing with himself when it's his earpiece. It's like his own aide, and he's just talking to himself.
Get out of my head, tiny person.
Who put this here? It's Stinky Hillary. She's talking to me.
Stinky?
Stinky poo-poo Hillary with a dirty diaper butt.
I can't claim that one. That was from Super Mega. But I do think it's hilarious.
Stop citing where you get your jokes. Yes. No. By the end of the week, I'd become more methodical, stripping the flesh clean to roast, cracking the bones for their marrow, wasting nothing. By the end of 2 weeks, there was nothing left of my husband. I had finally eaten
But the
him.
Memories remain.
God damn it.
I ate all his remains. I'd given up on ever being rescued, instead starting the long walk back towards civilization. I was amazed at how quickly my leg had healed. As I trekked, I felt myself filled with a restless vitality, which I could only attribute to my will to live.
Mm. Do we have a Wendigo situation?
I wouldn't Wendigo that far.
Aw, damn.
When did Pasco? $200.
What?
That's the law. You should know.
Yeah. Not a lawyer.
Oh, Elias, play it on loop. He said he's a lawyer.
Oh, I barely slept at night, barely rested during the day. It's almost as if I'd spent my entire life being sick, but I'd gotten so used to the feeling that I thought that's how everyone is supposed to feel.
Yeah. I can tell you right now that life is a lie. Your blood is not supposed to pass sluggishly and unnoticed through your veins. It's power dormant. You should feel the electricity of your flexing muscles, each explosive fire primed to your will. Those pristine wildernesses were not where I had been banished to, where I'd been banished to die. It's where I came alive.
I don't know how long I traveled in such a state, falling into a trance from a single-minded determination.
Now,
I think my husband's...
Do we want to point out it's falling into AA trance or no?
Sure.
I didn't even read that. My mind just fixed it for them. I think my husband's spirit must have been guiding me, though, because I found sudden understanding in navigating from the stars, just like he learned from the Navy.
Hmm.
Davy was in the Navy and then died in Alaska. Eventually, I found what I was looking for. A couple of campers fresh from the big city. I was so relieved at hearing another human voice to the trees that I surged forward like a wild thing, where the wild things are. Hmm. All my pain and sacrifice.
God damn it.
My sacrifice.
I've been building to this moment. Elegant French words. A woman's laughter. A way home. This is what I'd kept myself alive for.
But then I saw them. Him panting and sweating to move his grotesque belly. Her screaming and carrying on as though I were less than human. Well, it just goes to show you that sometimes you need to take a step back in order to see things clearly. After everything I'd been through, I couldn't feel anything but pity and disgust for these torpid creatures, willing victims of what their artificial life had deformed them into. Fucking millennials, ladies
fucking,
and gentlemen.
Fucking yuppies.
Fucking French millennials.
We gotta eat all the millennials.
Yes.
Fucking eat them.
I bet you could trade up a good case for that.
The husband was bigger, but the wife tasted better, cleaner. I lived more vibrantly in those the next few nights, feasting and regaining my strength from their unused bodies than all the years they'd wasted on being half alive.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
I wasn't only getting stronger either. I started catching my thoughts slipping in and out of French. I thought my husband had been guiding me through the woods, but now it seemed more appropriate to say that I had consumed some aspect of him, just as I had done with the French couple.
Hmm.
I had a lot of thoughts like omelette du fromage and omelette du fromage.
I started noticing my clit turning into the size of my husband's penis.
Jesus Christ.
And then I started growing another penis and another vagina.
Why? Why just that?
Because they're consuming the parts of the other people.
They're just eating the genitals. I was hungrier than ever. It is me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I was hungrier than ever. Gnawing incessant hunger almost as soon as I'd finished. Like my stomach threatened to digest itself if I didn't get more. I tried eating some of the trail mix and granola bars in their packs, but it tasted like so much sawdust and dirt, because it is. Even the beef jerky tasted like cardboard, although that's not unusual by itself. True.
Man, this is... I'm enjoying...
Really?
I'm enjoying this. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's functioning, but it's moving very quickly.
I think it's fine. I think it is, like, kind of... You get it about four paragraphs in, and then it kind of just keeps going.
Yeah. So, to me, it's well written, but to me, it sort of also reads a little bit like the stories where it's like, you know, the teen killer who's like, I looked at my, you know, teacher who thought she knew everything about the world, but oh, how ignorant she was, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me. That's just me.
When you say it like that, you're making it sound worse than it is, but I get what you're saying. It's like...
that element there.
Well, do you need that in the story at all? Like, what does that add other than pretentiousness?
No, it doesn't add anything. I think it would be, and maybe this is just me writing the character that I would write, but it would be like, wow, this is, it's not so much that they are seeing how stupid people are for being half alive, but they're just like, man, I'm enjoying life now. This is way better. Human meat. And it was all obvious that the more I ate, the more I needed it. The prospect of returning to my frail old self, unbearable. But the idea of living in the woods, biding my time in agonizing solitude while waiting for my next chance meal, I don't think that's any better.
Okay.
I'm going to call it now. This person's going to become a party clown for children's birthday parties.
They're going to crawl into a subway and hit blue lights and get brought food. Unless, of course, I go back to my old life without giving up what I need to survive and such easy targets there at the kindergarten where I used to teach.
We knew it was going to circle around to kids. It was just a matter of how.
Well, I mean, what is the difference between a kindergarten teacher and a clown? I mean, come on.
Yeah, really, exactly.
One teaches you how to tie your shoes.
And the other is a kindergarten teacher.
One teaches you how to tie your shoes, and the other teaches you to tie your shoes together.
One teaches you to tie your laces, the other ties something around you. Is that what we're going for? John Wayne Gacy, anybody? No? Okay. I didn't even waste time stopping at a hospital. My wounds had mended on their own, all but the missing fingers. Well, that's just going to horrify the children. I only stopped off at home long enough for a shower and some new clothes before heading back to the school. Don't teach them to count!
Surrounded by a sea of little shaggy heads, not even reaching my waist.
Like the teacher's back, man!
And she did.
Like she's missing fingers, Scoob!
What is wrong with the teacher's fingers? And then she closes the door, locks it. Don't ruin this for me,
no.
Children. The teachers were shocked to hear what happened, of course. Their version was lighter on the details. But despite their genuine offers to help, I insisted that I wanted to be back in the classroom as soon as possible.
See, guys? I told you she wasn't dead. That was Roddick.
Roddick.
He likes to finger paint. Roddick.
Roddick.
Roddick. He likes to finger paint. I hope it doesn't have a bad flavor. Well, don't eat his fingers after they've been in paint.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What happened to your hand? Oh, wait, no, sorry. Like, what happened to your hand, man? Ew, gross. You're gross. I'd be lying if I said this was the first time I'd contemplated Tiffany's horrible demise.
Yeah, I like that. Fuck Tiffany.
Yeah.
You don't have to come back. We were having fun without you, too.
Damn. These kids are savage.
People are fake. Kids hate her. They all deserve to die.
Kids hate her. Find out why with this one weird trick to revitalizing yourself. Who is this now? Is this me again? No. This is Desmoid.
Oh, don't worry. I squatted down to Sandy's level. Having me around will be even more exciting. Now take these and hand one out to everyone in the class.
I may be hungry, but I'm not an idiot. I'd never be able to take more than one or two children before causing such a scene that it became impossible to continue.
What if instead of a mass shooting, it's just like, yeah, we appear to be having a mass eating. What do you mean? No, there's just this lady. She's gone crazy and she's just eating all the children.
Jesus Christ!
Like, there's a lot of wine coolers now, Scoob.
I think that a lot of great things have come out of sentences that start with, hey, instead of a school shooting, what if?
Oh, no.
Arson? Shit.
Where
were we?
Impossible to continue.
Okay. What's she handing out? What is it? Let me see, Tiffany shouted.
It's a permission slip, I told her. We're going on a field trip. You, me, Dupree, Obama, the whole class. We're going camping.
Ooh.
I don't want to go camping. Now listen. So don't ruin this for me.
Get in the fucking bus.
Now listen. If you like your child, you can keep your child. I promise. Trust me. But yeah, kindergarten field trip, okay? It's not just the taste that makes children special. It's their innocence. And if I ever want to start over and live a normal life, then I'm going to need to eat until I'm innocent again, too. The end.
Credited to Tobias Wade.
I think we can all sort of relate to that. Aren't we all just eating until we're innocent again?
No.
Oh. Maybe that's just me.
Maybe when I go to the liquor store, I purposefully seek out what's probably going to further calcify my liver. So, no.
I like the idea of eating till innocent again, a book written by a cookbook written by a prison inmate.
Damn it.
This is weird how quickly she recovered from her husband dying. Like, no one's asking about that. It's like, so sorry for your loss.
Well, you gotta realize.
Yeah, what? Yeah, you got children? What? Huh?
You gotta realize, though, what happened was the plane crashed. Her husband died. She killed some campers, and she walked back to where she lives and went back to work at the nursery school. Wait, nobody even knows the husband's dead. Nobody knows the plane crashed. Nobody knows.
Wait a minute. Wait a goddamn minute. What the fuck were they? Where are they? Where are we getting these French people from?
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck are these fucking French people doing around?
Quebec's on the other side of fucking Canada. Yeah, what the hell?
I would understand if it was like Russians, because you can see Russia from Canada.
Right. But French people.
French people.
Where the fuck are all these French people coming from? I don't know.
I mean, it could just be like a group of Frenchies who are, you know, vacationing or something. I don't know.
My guess is maybe the person is Canadian, you know, the narrator, and they were just in Alaska on vacation or something. I don't know why.
I don't know why these French people were here, and then I realized they were French Canadians after eating them.
Right.
And I gained their memories.
They tasted like cheese.
Suddenly I could read half the signs in Canada.
You mean the other half of the signs?
The other half, yeah. There you go.
The first sentence, the first half is English.
Okay, so I won't say where I went today, but I went to a place where... Okay, it doesn't matter, but I saw a fucking sign, and it had the instructions for the thing in question in English and in Spanish and in fucking Vietnamese for some goddamn reason. I have no idea why.
That's pretty much everywhere where I live.
And that angers you?
In Vietnamese?
Yeah. It's one of the faster growing populations, I think. Could be wrong.
But not where I live, dude.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. Like,
they'd be better off putting something in, like, Somalian than...
Well, get ready for it. Get ready for it, DP. If they're starting with the signs, they're preparing for something. It's going to be a big influx of Vietnamese people.
Apparently.
Be like, pho. There's going to be a lot of pho. Oh,
like, King pho. Vietnamese here.
So what did we think of the story then, at least?
I mean, it's written fine. It's like, I get what they're going for, but it's a bit disjointed in that, like, oh, my husband's dead. It was a horrible crash. I'm going to go eat kids now.
Mm.
And there's like little, it just happens way too quickly. And
I think it would be resolved quite significantly if this person reread their story a few times from the beginning and just realized where their story starts and where it ends, because it doesn't loop together well.
It seems like the entire story really is just written to get to the point where the teacher is eating kids, and the expositional journey up to that point is very kind of just like, crashed, and meat tastes good, and fuck millennials. Right, okay, cool. Kids, we're eating kids now. That's spooky, isn't it? And it's like, I guess.
Also, it's a great title, and then, like, the story isn't about eating kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I feel like they should have been a doctor or something, and they were eating their patients or something.
Yeah, it's also saying 9 out of 10 cannibals agree children taste better, but where's the consensus? How are you contacting these cannibals? I want to know about cannibal society.
Well, the thing is, that's a very punchy title, so, I mean...
It is, but the story doesn't have anything to do with it.
You know what? This This should have been titled "One Weird Trick This Kindergarten Teacher Learned About Maintaining Your Health" or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
that would have worked so well for that.
Or if you want to rewrite the entire story, 10 people crash land in this plane, and 9 of them are like, "All right, we're gonna like," or maybe like 20 people do, and 9 people are down with cannibalism, and one's a holdout, and they fucking kill him, and they're like, "Fuck that!"
Yeah,
like, that makes sense.
Hey, kid, are you a bad enough dude to do cannibalism?
Winners don't eat people.
Now we're just back to the Loose News crew.
This has been the Fear Fiction Podcast. Your hosts are Abysme, Dead Pallet, and Slime Beast. Music by Abysme. Art by C.F. Comer. Voiceover by Atticus Jackson. Edited by Elias the Intern. Subscribe to FearFic on YouTube to stay up to date on new episodes.
Hello, fellow Americans and citizens of the internet. I invented that, BT Dubs. I am former Vice President Al Gore, and I'm here with a bold new policy proposal for the future. The facts are in, and eating human children is the only way to solve our energy crisis. As my charts and graphs predict, we will see an exponential increase in population, a population bomb, if you will, here in the near future. We currently have 7 billion people in America alone, and if trends continue according to predictions made in the 1970s, we will face the task of feeding 12 billion Americans as of 5 years ago. This is a disastrous future, and we cannot continue on this path. The options are clear: face overpopulation and a scarcity of food, or reduce the population and food shortage by turning some of that population into food. I have a confession to make. When I was 32 years old, long before I invented the internet, I saw an episode of The Twilight Zone that revolutionized my way of thinking about public policy. It was entitled "To Serve Man," and ever since then, I've been secretly eating children to sustain my body and strengthen my mind. One of the children I ate had a stroke and was from the South, which explains why I talk this way. In short, I'm pleading with you to eat your children as the Condiments ate us. I've been Al Gore, and you're welcome.
Yeah, like, awesome. You motherfuckers like music that isn't my music, and like by someone who actually knows what the fuck music is. Go subscribe to Adam Neely. He's a person I watch to learn about music and the weird, obscure shit you can do with it. Adam Neely, N-E-E-L-Y, he's on fucking YouTube. Go learn something.
That's Adam Neely, N-E-A-L-L-E-Y.
No, N-E-E-L-Y.
N-E-A-N-E-E?
L-E-Y-Y.
N-E.
You're thinking Mike Neely, who is a fucking guitarist who worked with Brendan Small on the Death Clock Live Tour, which I went to.
I think you're thinking of Brendan Large. I think you're mistaken.
I think you're thinking of Brandon Patrick.
No, I said Brendan Large.
I think you're thinking about Patrick Starr.
Oh, okay. Are you sure you're not thinking of Ringo Starr? Why do you hate the Beatles, Abysme? What did we ever do to you?
Suicide?
It's what they didn't do, and that was be good. So, you know.
Damn.
Sorry.
Fuck you too, mate.
Hey, everybody. It's your best friend Matt Pat here, and I've just taken a bunch of speed pills, and I'm feeling pretty great, what with my speed box. But I'm not here to talk about speed box. I'm here to talk about the podcast you just listened to. Did you enjoy that? I mean, you should probably subscribe.
Hey, wait a minute. Who the fuck are you? I'm Matt Pat, and I'm here to do a plug for FearFic on YouTube. Why is this sitting here?
trying to figure out if Five Nights at Freddy's is actually Ren and Stimpy.
Imposter?
And
is that a Mad Pat?
Have you been
with drugs and alcohol?
It's a good nature box.
Yeah, who the fuck
oh my God.
Nature boxes? I'm
reading sure that. Nature box. That you can get
Fear Fix
subscribed right to your channel on many platforms every weekday, one weekday a week.
Buy a t-shirt.
Please subscribe.
Help me.